I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we have a sad but inspiring story to tell. One young Marine veteran lost his fight with post-traumatic stress disorder just a few weeks ago, and now his mother and friends are doing what they can to try to save others. We'll hear how. And we'll hear how technology is invading our privacy again because of a popular iPhone app that tracks the whereabouts of mobile devices. We'll talk about that. But first, a newsmaker interview with the new leader of the Democratic National Committee. She is a woman, only the second selected for the post in the party's history, a member of Congress, the mom of three, and a breast cancer survivor. Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We caught up with her on the road in California. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Great to be with you.
I just want to clarify that the party has to vote to ratify the choice in a month's time, but you are the person selected for the post. So I do want to ask, is it congratulations or condolences?
Oh, no, it's absolutely congratulations. I'm really so thrilled and excited that the president has asked me to take on this challenge to chair the Democratic National Committee. We have a lot at stake in this country right now, and there's a very clear difference between the two parties, and I look forward to talking about the direction that President Obama has been taking us in and continuing to fight for where we need to go.
Do you mind if I ask why you wanted this job, why you wanted this job? You already wear lots of critical hats. You're on the House Judiciary Committee and the House Budget Committee, arguably the most critical body right now heading into the budget debate, the ongoing budget debate. You're also on the House Democratic Steering and Policy Committee. You're the chief deputy whip for the House Democrats, which means you count votes for the caucus. Certainly a critical job. And you're taking on this job at a time when the president's, you know, approval ratings, I don't want to say are precarious, but are certainly reflecting the times in which we live. So do you mind if I ask, why did you want to do this job?
Oh, no, not at all. Michelle, I'm really a give me the ball kind of person. And I really am thrilled that the coach put me in. I wanted to make sure that I could continue the sports analogy, help move the ball down the field. I have spent all my years in Congress, the last 6 years, working hard to make sure that we could elect Democrats around the country because my constituents in the 20th District in Florida believe in the Democratic Party's agenda. They want to see us working hard to get a handle on the budget deficit, to create jobs and turn the economy around. But they also want us to make sure that, as the president said, we engage in shared sacrifice and not balance all the hurt on the backs of those who can least afford it and make sure that we're able to improve life for the middle class and working families. So the opportunity to help run the ball, it was just too good to pass up.
Here comes the annoying, how are you going to do it all question, which, well, I know you've faced before. And the reason I'm bringing it up is that you've been asked before, you know, how you do it all, which is a question that, of course, men are not generally asked. I just want to play a short clip of you telling voters the story of your first run for Congress back in 2004 when your opponent criticized you for taking notes at a candidate's forum with a crayon.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I have is a crayon. Three little kids. I always have crayons. So she said, well, your opponent says that that's an example of the frazzled life that you now lead. And how it's demonstrative of the fact that you're not going to be able to do both jobs because you wrote with a crayon. You can say anything you want about me, but not question my quality as a parent. So I told the reporter, the only thing that shows is that I didn't have a pen. And as a mom, I'm often without a pen, but I am never without a crayon.
But what about it? I mean, then again, there was this profile of you in the New York Times that recently published this profile capturing all these facets of your life. And now some people think, you know what, this is what we need. We want to know how it really is done. On the other hand, Joanne Bamberger, who writes Pundit Mom blog, she says that this just reinforces the harried working mom myth and perpetuates the new momism, as she puts it, which links female politicians' competence with their childbearing capacity to make them less threatening to the body politic. And so I just want to ask, how do you feel about all that?
Well, I throughout my career have been asked questions like the one you're asking me now, and I do think that it's unfortunate that you're asking me because I think if you were interviewing the new male chair of the incoming male chair of the Democratic National Committee, we wouldn't be likely having this conversation. But I think it's incredibly important that moms of young children who are balancing work and family, who are struggling every single day to make it happen and give the best life they can for their children, see an example of someone who is a policymaker and someone who is fighting hard to make sure that we can bring about the change that we all want in this country is up there doing it too. So I think that I have an opportunity to be an example of, look, no one does it perfectly. I struggle every day also, and it's important to make sure that we have someone who understands the difficulties of balancing work and family so that we can get the policies right.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with the new leader of the Democratic National Committee, Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. There's another balancing act that has nothing to do with your private life. As the Democratic Party chair, you are expected to carry the party's message, particularly challenging the Republican message. How do you prevent that from damaging the relationships that you have in the House, where you are also expected to, you know, work across party lines to get things done?
Well, that's a great question. I have always prided myself on really being able to build individual relationships with my Republican colleagues. I spent 12 years in the Florida legislature, 8 of those years in the minority, now going on 4 years, what will be 4 years in the Congress out of my, and 8 at the end of this term in the minority in Congress. And, you know, I've been able to be successful even while being a fierce partisan who stands up for what my party's agenda means for Americans. And I think it's really, at the end of the day, it's about being a nice person. It's about making sure that you look for people who, you know, you may not agree with on the other side of the aisle all the time, but that everybody can find some common ground. And so that's how I've always reached across the aisle, been able to find Republican colleagues to work with me, and I expect that to continue.
What are your priorities as party chair?
Well, my number one priority is to help reelect President Obama to a second term and to make sure that we can take the 25 seats back that will return the Democrats to the majority in the House of Representatives and hold the Senate. I mean, those are that's the three-legged stool. But, you know, our main driver will be reelecting President Obama.
Why do you think that his poll numbers are as, what's the word I'm looking for, variable as they seem to be? He's sort of been hovering around 46%. In the recent New York Times CBS News poll from about a week ago, he's around 46%. That's about where he's been hovering for some time. And also voters seem to say that they are skeptical about his ability to turn around the economy, so which has been a Democratic strength in recent years. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that at this point, this far out from the election, you can't put much stock in polls. Presidents' approval ratings, whether they're Republican or Democrat, fluctuate, you know, like the wind blows. And I think President Obama has inherited a mass of tough assignments that he's handled very well. You know, let's remember he's taken us from bleeding 750,000 plus jobs a month the month before he was inaugurated to now fast forward 2.5 years later. And, you know, the unemployment rate has dropped to 8.8%. We've still got a long way to go. But 13 straight months of job growth in the private sector, 230,000 plus jobs added to the private sector just last month alone. So, you know, we are pushing hard to turn this economy around. We'd like the Republicans to join us in that being a priority and not, you know, spend a tremendous amount of time, which they seem to be obsessed with, eroding the safety net from our senior citizens and yanking out the policies that we've put in place in the last couple of years. They need to drop their obsession and join us in creating jobs
but
and turning the economy.
Is that a good message, though, that for those who say, look, I still need a job, to say it would be worse if I weren't here?
We're not saying it would be worse if I weren't here. We're saying that we're on the road to recovery, and we need to continue the policies that President Obama and the previously Democratic Congress have put in place so that we can not short-circuit that recovery. We're not making the case it would have been worse. We're making the case it's gotten better, and it can get even better, unless we go in the direction that the Republicans want to go, which is to go back to providing tax cuts to the wealthiest Americans exclusively and ignoring the middle class and working families. Now they've proposed to end Medicare as we know it. I mean, we've gotten a little glimpse in the last few months of what the Republicans really want to accomplish, and that's implement an extremely radical social agenda. Roll back the policies that have been put in place that make sure that every American can get access to quality, affordable health care. And unbelievably, make sure that we can give even more tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans at the expense of the middle class and our seniors. That's just unacceptable. And I think the American people will have a very clear choice next November in the direction that they want to go.
And finally, before we let you go, and we have about a minute and a half left, I think one of the other things that's been attractive to the party about in your profile, among the other attributes that we mentioned, is that you're from Florida.
I am from Florida.
You
proudly.
Are from Florida. Always up for, it's been in, up for grabs in recent years, and it's a very important swing state. So I wanted to ask, what's your plan for keeping Florida in the Democratic column in 2012? And do you think you can do it?
I do think we can do it, and I'm proud to represent my constituents in the 20th District in Florida, and they're always my number one priority professionally, and we're going to work hard, just like we did in 2008, to talk to Floridians about our accomplishments. Floridians care about getting our economy turned around and creating jobs, more so than because our pace of recovery has not been quite as quick. We're going to be able to talk about those priorities to Floridians. We're going to run a robust grassroots campaign. We have 800,000 more registered Democrats in Florida than Republicans, and we're going to get a newly redrawn congressional and legislative map that's going to balance out, thanks to our voters, changing the Constitution in Florida this year so that we can get fairly drawn legislative and congressional districts. We're going to make sure that that we help drive the president back to the White House in November of 2012.
I've been speaking with the incoming chair of the Democratic National Committee, Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We caught up with her on the road in California. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining us, or Madam Chair.
Chair,
thanks for joining us once again.